The Spectator magazine is home to wonderful writing, insightful analysis, and unrivaled books and arts reviews. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, along with a free £20 John Lewis or Waitrose voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots. I'm James Hill. I'm joined today by Kate Andrews and Katie Balls. Now, Kate, the headline of the Daily Mail today on the front says, "Market turmoil sounds red alert for Chancellor." How much trouble is Rachel Reeves in?
It hasn't been a great week. It's strange to be saying this, but Elon Musk may have actually helped the Labour government slightly with all the mudslinging at the start of the week because it distracted from what has been happening for days now, which is that borrowing costs for the government continue to rise. It sounds technical. It is technical. But the implications of this is that as borrowing costs go up, the UK has to pay more money to service its debt. We're not talking thousands or millions. We're talking billions and billions of pounds to do this. And that means that Rachel Reeves has a lot less headroom, or potentially none at all, to spend on the projects that she wants to spend on, to do the things that the government wants to do without breaking her own fiscal rules. So long-term borrowing costs for the government have climbed to their highest level since 1998. The 10-year UK gilts are up to their highest point since 2008 during the financial crisis. Both of these figures surpass what happened after Liz Truss's mini budget. So not only do you have quite a difficult situation financially for the government, you also have a political battle going on. Liz Truss has just released a video basically trying to reclaim the narrative. No, she did not crash the economy. Look at what Labour's doing now. There is a battle between Labour and the former prime minister going on about who's worse in this respect. It is my personal view that they're suffering a very similar fate, but it's playing out quite differently, and we can get into that later. But basically, both Liz Truss and Rachel Reeves thought that markets would see what they were trying to do. They would see what their intention was for 5-10 years down the line, and they would finance that transition. In both scenarios, markets have basically said, no, we're not convinced. It's playing out differently, but it's a similar story, and it comes down to the fact that the UK's debt to GDP ratio hovers around 100%. The UK's already spent so much money, and when investors are asked for more, their response now is, okay, but there's a higher premium.
And Katie, you write in today's Coffee House, you say about that Rachel Reeves might have to go back on her word. Is this about taxes?
Well, taxes potentially. I mean, I think she might just have to do things that make various groups quite annoyed, but perhaps that is just the life of being a chancellor at the moment. The problem she has is you look at the rise in the borrowing costs. Now, is this going to be a sustained rise? That's the question. It is still a possibility that the bond market's flurry at the moment calms down. The big question is, Rachel Reeves has said that she is going back to one major fiscal event a year, which is the autumn budget. However, she does have her spring event at the end of March, and that is when the OBR will revise its figures. Now, if you had sustained high borrowing costs, and this is not a blip, it could be the case that Rachel Reeves thinks going to have about 9 billion in headroom. If her headroom goes, then she may break her own fiscal rules just as a result of the higher borrowing costs and all these figures. And that means she would have to take some form of action. So when you get to the spring event, which is not meant to have anything in the form of tax rises, borrowing, you know, in terms of actions, really, it's more of a stock take. If you had a dismal OBR offering at that point, you would expect the Chancellor to take some form of course correction. And then, of course, that's just before you get to the spending review, which is due early summer. Rachel Reeves has also said, generally speaking, and I think this went beyond the spring event, that she did not plan to do another budget like the one she did in October, saying, you know, no, that 40 billion of extra taxes that I did, that is a one-off, and, you know, things are going to be better from then on. If you have higher borrowing costs, so all the money is going, more money is going on that as opposed to spending money on the things that she wants to. If you have Donald Trump back in the White House, which happens in a week or so, and even if the UK government avoids tariffs, if you have a situation where Donald Trump, you know, this week is talking about 5% on NATO, well, I don't think that anyone thinks 5% is a real figure. I mean, US does not even pay that at the moment, but you know, speaking to various figures with extensive M&D experience, they see that as meaning 3% at least is probably where you're heading to. She has to find money for that. It's just all starting to look quite difficult. So we can get onto whether or not this is a Liz Truss moment. I don't think we are there yet in terms of the Pond reaction. And actually, for every headline you see saying, oh, Liz Truss, and we should get on to what Liz Truss has to say on this. But for every headline you see, you know, further down, you will have various figures saying, you know, we're not there yet. But it is tricky for her. And I think the risk is that if you just bring a few things together that have happened in the past month or so, which is, you know, the lack of growth, the rise in borrowing costs, it is creating quite a dangerous cocktail, which I think means that Rachel Reeves might have various unpalatable choices as the year goes on, which is the opposite of what they were hoping for when they first came in and were talking about the stability premium.
Kate, I mean, tell us more about the Liz Truss point you were just about to make as well, in terms of what's different now. Why is the political situation so different from those crisis-filled days of September 2022?
What happened after the mini budget was a sort of fiscal explosion. And what we're experiencing now is a rumbling that's been going on for months and months and months, but is getting worse. When Liz Truss announced the details of her mini budget, which included roughly £100 billion additional borrowing to subsidize everybody's energy costs over the course of a year, markets were not expecting any of this. None of it had been briefed, not to politicians, not to journalists, not to markets, not to the city, not to the Bank of England, to nobody. And there was like quite a clear reaction, immediate reaction to that. And it uncovered the LDI crisis that was hovering underneath the surface, and everything got incredibly tumultuous very quickly. Everything got incredibly unsteady very quickly. What's happened with labor is the cost of borrowing has been gradually moving upwards, actually since September, when parts of the budget started to get briefed. And because of that $40 billion additional tax rises, I think labor cushioned that immediate blow somewhat successfully, because markets were able to say, well, at least they're going to try to cover some of their costs. But what's just become so incredibly clear, especially because more than half of those additional tax raises went to the National Health Service for day-to-day spending, because UK growth figures have been pretty abysmal. When we look at September and October, there was actually a small contraction there because there are early warning signs, potentially by no means guaranteed, of a mild recession, because the labor market is cooling and people are worried about increasing unemployment. Fears of stagnation are being discussed. And if you line that up with this huge increase in borrowing that Labour announced, markets are clearly not very convinced that Labour can actually pay the bills. They're not very convinced that this is a fiscally prudent budget and something that is going to be sustainable. And so borrowing costs have been drifting upwards. The reason this is coming to a head now is, I think, because they have surpassed the mini budget moment. So they are fundamentally different. But as Katie said, we're not at breaking point yet. However, Rachel Reeves may have to make some really uncomfortable political decisions if she doesn't want to head towards breaking point. And already you can see Labour starting to try to deal with that tricky territory. The Chief Secretary, Darren Jones, just a couple hours ago, was in the chamber. And when he was accused by the Tories of going back to austerity, potentially, in the spending review, he said, "What is austerity? It was an ideological cut to public financing and the size of the state." The idea being that the Tories wanted to do it, we just might have to do it, and then it's not austerity. Well, let's not forget that austerity is also tax rises and, you know, VAT on private school fees. That feels a bit ideological to me. So I'm not sure that is really the definition of austerity, as the Chief Secretary said it. But the point is, these are the kinds of options they may now be looking at because borrowing costs are rising. And none of that is going to be comfortable for the Chancellor. It may not be as explosive, but it is still very painful.
And I think the thing that is going to be the most tricky for the Parliamentary Labour Party would be spending cuts. The hints are that, you know, in this Treasury response that we had on Wednesday, which lots of people got very excited about, it was a note from the Treasury saying, if the headroom goes, we will, you know, obviously spend without a means and so forth. And some have said that's a, you know, a panic note in the face of the crisis. I think in the Treasury, they're trying to play that down, saying it was instead, you know, they decided to respond to a query and, you know, don't read too much into this. I think what the Treasury would like to say in the message is, if the headroom goes, they are more likely to opt for spending cuts than tax rises. And of course, not more borrowing. If you get to that point, the spending review is already looking quite difficult. Of course, for the Labour Party, spending cuts are going to be much more painful, I think, than from a political sense in terms of the internal politics than tax rises, even where tax burden is as it is. So I think that's the political quandary, that where things could get really tough. There's also questions already, you know, about Rachel Reeves and Keir Starmer, I think, are on the same path on the economy, because he has never really taken a leading role in it and he's trusted so much in Rachel Reeves. So I don't think he is at the point where he can shrug it off. But also the biggest problem for Rachel Reeves, I think, just does remain, which is they're staking everything on growth and they have no growth. And there's a little sign that there's going to be growth. And if you don't have that, where's your fix on lots of these things? If she can get growth, things get better for the Chancellor. I don't think she is in any short-term danger, medium-term danger, but you don't have growth. Questions are going to be asked, obviously, a year or two in as to, you know, how bad are things going to get? And, you know, it's not gone unnoticed, of course, that Rachel Reeves is about to go to China. You have the opposition parties now, some of them saying she should not go to China, she should be here focusing on the Treasury plan at the moment is that she will continue with that trip. Now, she has a reason to go to that trip, because when it comes to the mission of economic growth, the Labour government have made the calculation that closer ties with China, even with the human rights questions that raises, even with the security questions potentially on espionage and so forth, and those claims, it's worth having all that baggage for closer economic ties, because it can lead to more investment. And I think in a way, the problems that the UK government is currently facing in the economy is just only going to make that urge of moving a bit closer to China a stronger one, of course, until you see what Trump does.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Kate. And thank you for listening to Coffee House Shots.